This is Radio National, abc.net.au/rn. Amanda Smith with you, and we're going on a kind of paper trail in this artworks feature. We're heading to northern Tasmania and the Burnie Regional Art Gallery. Now, this gallery is linked to the town in a really quite marvellous way. It specialises in works on paper and the art of papermaking. And that's because, as you'll hear, Burnie really is a paper town. Its industry is paper. The other interesting thing about Burnie is that it very nearly got a car park instead of an art gallery until the locals put up a fight. Lynn Gallagher is taking you on a tour of the gallery with its director, Greg Leong.
That's the sound of making paper, a wet and messy business that human beings have been engaged in for centuries. Welcome to Burnie, an industrial town that's made its name with the commercially mass-produced paper sold around the world under the Reflex brand name. Since then, the mill has scaled back its operations. In the early 1990s, some of the laid-off workers started an organisation called Creative Paper, which specialised in handmade paper and is still right next door to the mill. And one of the same research chemists who invented the most popular form of commercial paper was also the person who worked to find fibres suitable for handmade paper. And that research led to the development of Rupu paper, which is, well, let me say, it's the genuine article. All of which is why paper is now the link between Burnie's industrial past and its creative future, and why Burnie calls itself a paper town, and why it has an art gallery that deserves a visit.
See, that's your usual sort of paper work, where the emphasis is on the making of the paper. And although she has got an ecological theme, because this is made from a kind of birch, which is like 90 centuries old or something like that, and that too, that sort of work is very much focused on the making of paper.
This is Greg Leong, the very proud director of the Burnie Regional Art Gallery.
We're in the right at the entrance of the main gallery at the Burnie Regional Art Gallery, and as I've been sort of enthusing to you, it's a beautiful, beautiful gallery. This gallery has a great versatility because the walls you see in the middle of the room can all be moved, they can all be taken away, or they can be increased, and you can have different configurations. You can have two, three separate exhibition spaces within this one large gallery, and it looks absolutely beautiful when there are no walls in the middle.
And when you spoke to me on the phone, you were telling me about how when this place was being planned, it was going to be a car park.
That's right. That was in the mid-70s when the Civic Centre was going up and they got grants, and it was all very exciting. And this space was planned to be a car park. And the community complained, said that we want to have a proper art gallery, a regional art gallery. And so it became one, and with government support. And I think that's a lovely story, isn't it? Oh, by the way, this has got very good climate control. I'll just show you very...
For a car park, it's amazing.
Yes. This is Randolph's.
Randolph Wiley is just one of three staff members at the Burnie Regional Art Gallery, and he's just had to deal with 147 entries to the Burnie Print Prize. Randolph describes himself not as an artist as such, which he thinks of as an advantage in this job, but someone who can make the work come alive in the space.
My role is Senior Exhibitions Officer. You know, that is, I have to frame, mount, hang, arrange artwork, collect artwork from artists, make sure that all the insurance details are correct, make sure all the label details are correct, just generally make sure the gallery looks as good as we can make it with what we've got. Yeah.
And of all the difficult things to hang, works on paper?
Yeah, works, sheets of paper, not so much works on paper, because works on paper can be framed, but when we get works, as in the Burnie Print Prize, where a lot of work is sent just as works on paper, even though we ask the artists in the entry form details for hanging, sometimes they're a little bit lapse with giving us those details, so we can only assume that we're free to pin or to use our magnets, or if sometimes they'll supply their own magnets or pins.
Well, I was very impressed with the delicacy with which you've treated each object.
No, thank you. I guess that's part of a big part of my job is the layout, and that comes with, you know, the years of experience, 16 years of hanging shows. I get a lot of compliments, particularly in the last 5-6 years. So it shows that what I'm doing is actually working.
The other staff member is Mary Watt, and she does everything else that needs doing, which on days like today includes returning a missing car and speaking to the media.
My name is Mary Watt and I'm the Secretary Receptionist at the Burnie Regional Art Gallery. I handle most of the administrative side of the exhibitions, ranging from booking accommodation, doing labels. I also take charge of the shop area, the gift shop in the gallery, which is expanding all the time. We have a wide variety of works by artists all over Tasmania and some from the mainland, which includes ceramics and glassware and a wonderful selection of cards.
And you have seen the gallery grow? Is it blossoming at the moment?
Oh, it's wonderful at the moment. We have 4 wonderful exhibitions based on paper to do with the 10 Days on the Island Festival. And we also have our first exhibition in the schools range, which is the exhibitions officer Randolph Wiley is just putting up at the moment.
Thank you. So the first exhibition in the space at the moment is the Burnie Print Prize, which this year was won by Hobart artist Helen Wright. But looking at the huge variety and high standard of entries, it can't have been an easy competition to judge. The prize celebrates Burnie's long and complex relationship to paper manufacturing, and as Greg Leong says, it also points to an uncertain future because Burnie's paper factory is currently in limbo. APPM, Associated Pulp and Paper Mills, has just been taken over by a company which didn't want 2 of the existing mills. And Burnie was one of them. So as the politics and economics shift, who knows what will happen to the workers? They might be tomorrow's artists.
Here with the Print Prize, we are celebrating, in a way, the history of Burnie as a paper town, as the home of APPM, which may be coming to an end, I suppose, with APPM being sold to the Japanese. But we'll see. But Burnie has made a reputation as being a paper town. And it would be very remiss for a regional art gallery in Burnie not to have a focus for its collection to have works on paper. So we've got over 1,000 works in our collection, and the Print Prize was started partly so that one could acquire the best in contemporary Australian printmaking, to enlarge the collection, to have good works, and also to encourage the art of printmaking and get people to like prints. So out of the 1,000-strong works on paper, which are mainly on paper, there are 541, but you can check the catalogue. I'll just check that just to make sure that I don't give you the wrong statistic. It's on this page. Sorry, there are 542 prints in the collection by Australian printmakers, and that's by 186 Australian printmakers, including some really very important names from the last century in art, such as Brett Whiteley, Lloyd Rees, Sidney Nolan, James Gleeson, Keith Luby. We've got
Ruth Faber, Ian Abdullah, Ray Arnold, Charles Blackman, Arthur Boyd, John Brack, Pat Brassington, John Catapan, John Coburn, Noel Cunahan, Robert Dickerson, Donald Friend, Fiona Hall, Barbara Hanrahan, Robert Jacks, Tim Jones, Herta Klug Pott, Bruno Letty.
As you can hear, the list is long and impressive. But these works are not all on display at the moment. At the moment, we're looking at the Burnie Print Prize.
Let me just return to the Print Prize. We received 147 entries, and I should just observe that the variety of techniques used is quite amazing, because apart from your regular printmaking techniques like linocut and etching and screen prints, you have works on media which is not paper. There are two. So we'll just walk to Avital Scheffer, beautiful ceramic figure. Well, vase, shouldn't call it a figure because it may not be. But the screen printing of the text and the designs, I think that's really quite fabulous. And if only one could give 10 top prizes, that would be one of mine. And just around the corner, the work of Rebecca Mayo. It's work about women. And so these are two very unusual works because they are not on paper. And there's a third work which is not on paper, which I must show you. This and another work get my top prizes for audacity because that's a screen print, and it's screen printed on two sides as far as one can tell. And now against the wall looks like charcoal on grey on black. The charcoal side is printed on this side and the blacks are from the other side because you can see from the gloss.
It's plastic and it's a...
That's right.
Grey and shiny black splodges.
On the back, yes. And these are the... Or it could be black, but it's looking very charcoal to me. But if you look at the slide on which this was judged for selection, in fact, it's multicoloured. So that's really quite interesting. And this you would not normally see in a printmaking prize, would you? And I think it's quite audacious. I like it a lot. It's by David Hawley, originally from Burnie Way. Anyway, his father still lives here. So now we'll... And I'm also very excited that we've got some Torres Straits Islander arts. That one and that one are both by Torres Strait artists.
Exquisite.
And that one with the important mythical personage Tagai is by Brian Robinson, I should say. And this is about the life cycle of the stingray, which are very important to them, is by Joel Sam. They're so beautiful. They're both lino cuts, aren't they?
And huge lino cuts. That would have been a lot of work.
Oh, I have to show you. This one by Rio Hanks has a whole page of artist notes. And when I first looked at it, I thought, well, these people look a bit familiar. And then when I read the artist statement, there's a white woman and a black woman, and they are obviously in Tasmania because of the Tasmanian tigers at the bottom.
Jermaine Greer meets Truganini, that's amazing.
And the white boy at the background, when I saw this, I thought this was very post-colonial, where you had reversals and the white boy is the stable boy, or what? That's what I thought. But Rio Hanks, the artist, says in his statement that it's one of Jermaine Greer's boys from her latest recent books on the boy
and the beauty of the young boy.
Yes, so it's quite political. It's very clever.
And there's nothing parochial about it. You're listening to Artworks on ABC Radio National. I'm Lynn Gallagher, and today we're inside the Burnie Regional Art Gallery. And in this particular corner of the gallery, there's a video installation featuring the American paper artist Helen Hebert.
But I remember this story. A friend told me about an incredible experience. She went on a project in the remote jungle of Venezuela. She's an artist, and she flew on a small plane just with the pilot to this area, and they had to stop and refuel. She got out of the plane and was just waiting, and a bunch of children ran up to her. And she was, you know, she didn't speak their language, so she had a little notebook in her purse, and she handed each one of them a sheet of paper, thinking that they would draw pictures to communicate or something. And each child took their sheet of paper and did something different with it. One of them just dropped it held it up and watched it flutter through the air, and another one laid it on the ground and sat on it. And she soon became aware that these children had never seen a sheet of paper, much less written on one or drawn a picture on one. And that was just amazing to me, that sense of discovery that each one of them had and how they experienced a new material, what they did with it for the first time. Yeah, I'm Helen Hebert, and I'm a paper artist. I've been making paper for the past 16 years.
Paper can be made from almost any fibrous material. The fiber is simply beaten to a pulp, then spread out in a thin layer and dried. And this is the sound of Helen Hebert doing it. In this video documentary made by Gretchen Haig, Helen speaks about her process, which involved allowing flat sheets of paper to dry and then morph into three-dimensional sculptures. It's a process that happens all by itself overnight.
This is when the art was being made. Like, I wasn't here. I set something in motion. I did something to the paper, and then it reacted to what I did. And it did that when I wasn't watching. I can predict to some extent what might happen, but there's always a surprise element that I'm really intrigued by, that the paper does something.
All of which raises metaphysical questions about the properties of paper. What, for instance, does paper tell us about the relationship between art and nature? What does it tell us about the relationship between art and industry? What about the relationship between wood chips and illuminated manuscripts? From paper we get shopping lists, Stasi files, nuclear bomb blueprints, poetry, peace treaties, war plans, love letters and advertising. And as paper takes us further into the realms of so-called civilization and further into abstract thought, it's no wonder that artists like Helen Hebert want to use paper to take us back to nature by thinking about how paper is made. How it bends, how it tears, how it crinkles and decays. In Helen's work, paper takes its own shape and even has its own voice.
Once they were dry, I started looking at them and they started to look like things to me. You know, it's like the looking at the clouds and seeing the... What do you see in the cloud? You see a bunny or an elephant or whatever. But I like that they're not any one thing either, that people can bring themselves into the work and have their own experience.
Now, we're walking into our rear gallery now. And this exhibition is New Paper, Old Land, which is the official exhibition of the International Artists Association of Paper Artists and Paper Makers. The last international congress was held in Vienna. And this year's congress is held in Bernie. And I think that's an amazing coup by the last manager, Joanna Gay, who's also an artist, who got it to come to Bernie, and Michelle Wobolts, the current manager, has made a fantastic success of the whole conference. So it's a win-win situation. Everybody's had a lovely time, and we've got this lovely exhibition out of it called New Paper, Old Land, and there we have John Wolseley as our signature work for this exhibition. He left that paper in the wilderness for 74 days, according to the title, and then drew what he saw in that environment, in the shrubbery, lichen, and that lovely little lizard. It's fabulous.
Exquisite. Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
In Joseph Brodsky's book of essays called On Grief and Reason, he says that the purpose of evolution, believe it or not, is beauty. Brodsky believes that ethics can be achieved through aesthetics, in the sense that making a fine aesthetic discrimination can teach us to making a fine ethical discrimination. Good art is on the side of good. Evil, on the other hand, is a bad stylist. It's an interesting idea, and although I'm not sure what it means for a town like Burnie, I think turning a proposed car park into an art gallery would make Brodsky happy.
Now, on the way to the last exhibition, just a very small display, a tribute to by Penny Carey Wells, who's a paper artist who used to run the mill in Hobart as well, latterly. And Penny has made this little tribute of a trip she took together with a man called Charles Turner, a man, as she says, who loved paper. He was a research scientist at AWPM at the mill for a very long time, and then he retired in, mid-90s.
So he would have helped with the Reflex brand of paper.
Yes, indeed. And but also on his retirement, he retired to his studio at beautiful Sisters Beach and started to experiment, further his experiments on the use of Tasmanian fibre for paper, for make art paper, and here you see some examples. And in 1994, I think it was, Creative Paper, which is a wonderful concern here in Burnie, and which is the organisation which is hosting the IAPMA conference, the International Congress.
Is over near the paper mills.
That's right. It's in Surrey Road. I hope you have a chance to visit it. But he was very much instrumental in the setting up of Creative Paper in 1994. So it's very appropriate. There's this little tribute in this corner to Charles Turner, a pioneer in the use of Tasmanian fibre and the making of
hand paper.
To go
from industrial paper to art paper, isn't it? Sort of represents the whole story of Burnie as a town.
Yes, you can put it like that. That's very elegantly put. Now, finally, here we've got all our plinths and some more paper people, but they'll be going to Creative Paper, its new home. There's going to be a new place. The working title of the place is Maker's Workshop along the forefront. So it's a new development where it will be both a tourist attraction but also a working studio for paper making and associated exhibitions. And we'll be joined by a boardwalk along the beach.
Beautiful.
So it's Burnie's coming alive. No matter what else happens, it's just going to be absolutely wonderful.
At the Burnie Regional Art Gallery in Tasmania, Lynn Gallagher there for Artworks with the director Greg Leong. He's also now the director of the Burnie Arts and Function Centre as well, busy bloke. We also heard from the other two staff members at this regional gallery, Randolph Wiley and Mary Watt, and the paper artist Helen Hebert. There's a link to the Burnie Regional Art Gallery on our website if you want to check out more about it. I'm Amanda Smith and this is Radio National, abc.net.au/rn.